Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery at the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting at the San Diego Performance Academy. We open our show today with a New Year's Day message from Pope Francis. Speaking at the Vatican on January 1st, Pope Francis issued an impassioned plea for world peace. He told the thousands of faithful gathered there that we are all part of the same human family, and we share a common destiny. This brings a responsibility for each to work so that the world becomes a community of brothers who respect each other, accept each other's diversity, and takes care of one another, the Pope said. And then he did a remarkable thing. Pope Francis laid aside his prepared speech, and he asked, "What is happening in the heart of man? What is happening in the heart of humanity?" Deploring the violence in nations around the world, he said, "It's time to stop." He urged that the gospel of brotherhood speak to every conscience and knock down the walls that impede enemies from recognizing that they are brothers. Pope Francis, who has been an outspoken advocate for the poor and downtrodden, also denounced injustices present in so many parts of the world. For the coming year, he implored, "There is the need for the commitment for all to build a society that is truly more just and united." The Argentine pontiff, formerly known as Jorge Mario Bergoglio, is the first Latin American pope and the first pope who is not European. He's also the first pope to take the name Francis, after St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of the poor and a saint known for promoting peace long, long ago. Time magazine has named Pope Francis the magazine's Person of the Year, calling him a new voice of conscience. Time's managing editor, Nancy Gibbs, explained the choice this way. In his 9 months in office, he has placed himself at the very center of the central conversations of our time about wealth and poverty, fairness and justice, transparency, modernity, globalization, the role of women, the nature of marriage, the temptations of power, she wrote. When he kisses the face of a disfigured man or washes the feet of a Muslim woman, the image resonates far beyond the boundaries of the Catholic Church. His dedication to humility and the fight against poverty affirmed his choice as Man of the Year, Times editor concluded. The Pope has practiced what he preaches, compelling a papal emissary to go out into the streets of Rome and find poor people in need, then offer them help on an individual basis, even bringing homeless people to dine with the Pope at the Vatican. Pope Francis has sparked controversy in some quarters, such as with his denouncement of trickle-down economics, revered by many conservatives, though he has disappointed some liberals in affirming that the priesthood should be reserved for men and standing firm against abortion and gay marriage. But he has shown tolerance toward all people, saying of gay and lesbian individuals, "Who am I to judge?" and suggesting that the Church should broaden the role of women and dwell less on divisive issues such as abortion, calling on all Christians to help those in need. He also established a committee to combat child abuse, seeking to protect children in the wake of the priest pedophilia scandal that rocked the Church. The first major writing by Pope Francis was an apostolic exhortation in which he denounced by name the tyranny of capitalism and the trickle-down economics theory. He wrote, "Just as the commandment, 'Thou shalt not kill,' sets a clear limit in order to safeguard the value of human life, today we also have to say, 'Thou shalt not,' to an economy of exclusion and inequality. Such an economy kills," the Pope continued, likening today's worship of money to the ancient golden calf of biblical times. He added that this has led to a, quote, "globalization of indifference. Almost without being aware of it, we end up being incapable of feeling compassion and the outcry of the poor, weeping for other people's pain and feeling a need to help them as though all this were someone else's responsibility and not our own." So, he added, while the earnings of a minority are growing exponentially, so too is the gap separating the majority from the prosperity enjoyed by those happy few. He chided a culture of consumerism and speculation in the financial markets, but also took political leaders to task. Some simply content themselves with blaming the poor and the poorer countries themselves for their troubles, indulging in unwarranted generalizations. They claim that the solution is an education that would tranquilize them, making them tame and harmless, Pope Francis observed. All this becomes even more exasperating for the marginalized, in the light of the widespread and deeply rooted corruption found in many countries, in their governments, businesses, and institutions, whatever the political ideology of their leaders. So on New Year's Day, Pope Francis called on people around the world to listen to and heed the cry of peace from people who are suffering. And one doesn't need to be a Catholic or even a Christian to take that message to heart. The following carol was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow back in 1864, recorded by Harlan D. Sewell at the Timeless Truths Library dedicated to the public domain.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play in music sweet, the tones repeat, there's peace on earth, goodwill to me. And in despair I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead nor dead. He sleep, for Christ is here, his spirit dear brings peace on earth, goodwill to men. When men repent and turn from sin, the Prince of Peace then enters in, and grace imparts within their hearts his peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then happy singing on your way, your world will change from night to day. Your heart will feel the message real of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
This is Miriam Raftery, and I'm reporting today from Grossmont Hospital, where our own reporter and restaurant reviewer, Leon Thompson, is recuperating on his fifth day after open-heart surgery. A quintuple bypass, in fact. Leon, I understand there's an interesting nickname around here for this procedure.
Oh, yes. We're called Cabbage.
Cabbage. What does that stand for?
A cabbage is a coronary artery bypass graft surgery. Or a CABGS.
So we can call you our own Cabbage Patch Kid now?
Sort of. We're post-cabbage because we've had our operations and we've had our sternum split open from top to bottom, just like a oyster.
Okay, well, we're glad you're doing so well. So how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine.
Fine, wow. Are you surprised at how fast you're recovering from this major procedure?
Actually, I am. I really expected to be lying in a bed with tubes hanging out of my mouth and barely conscious, but I'm up and around, I'm walking, and I'm eating on my own, and pretty much taking care of myself.
Well, that is great. Now, I understand from the nurses that you're out setting the pace on the cardiac ward here for getting up and around at a pretty amazing rate. Can you tell our listeners about your activity level so far?
Well, I asked my surgeon, Dr. Lin, what I can do to help and enhance my recovery, and he said, get out of bed. Start walking. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out it's 400 feet around the fifth floor of the West Wing up here. And turns out about 15 laps equals a mile. So
wow.
I try to do 5 in the morning and 5 midday and 5 in the afternoon.
So 5 days after you're having open heart surgery, you're up here walking a mile a day.
That's me.
That is very inspirational.
Cabbage walking is what they call me.
So do you still have very much pain, Leon?
Well, yes, I do. You can't expect to be pain-free after they've cut your sternum down the middle and opened your rib cage and practically replumbed your heart.
Kind of like getting a new carburetor on your car.
Exactly. And so I got new pipes and new tubes.
Like a rebuilt engine.
A rebuilt heart. So I can start 2014 with a brand new rebuilt heart.
fantastic. We should add, Dr. Lin is about the only surgeon still around here that does this procedure without putting patients on a heart-lung machine. So they're actually out earlier and under the anesthetic for less time. It's pretty astounding.
I should add, too, that he uses robotics. Micro robotics.
Wow.
Connecting. So he's not only, experienced in the old way of doing things, but also in the modern technologies.
Very good. So what did you feel like before the surgery? What did it take for you to wind up here in the hospital, Leon?
Well, I felt angina, which is a pain in the chest, like someone sitting on your chest.
An elephant, you said.
Actually, I used a different term, but that's true. The pain sometimes would go away, and this one particular morning it didn't. And all day long I suffered the angina. And finally, at 5 o'clock in the evening, I came into the ER at Grossmont Hospital here in La Mesa. Mm-hmm. And in 5 minutes, they had me on a gurney, and I've been here ever since.
So they took you in for an angiogram to get a look inside, and how bad was it?
Well, it's 3 times worse than the angiogram that was done in 2011, in August of 2011. So we actually had an angiogram to compare it with. Mm-hmm. So there was no doubt in anyone's mind that it had gotten considerably worse.
You had one that was...
completely blocked.
100% blocked.
In 2011, now I had... three that were considerably blocked, and it turns out after they opened me up that there was even...
Yeah, so you went in thinking it was going to be a triple bypass, or as you called it, the trifecta.
Yes.
And you wound up with a quintuple bypass, which is as many as they can do. Leave it to you to set a record here, Leon. So you were told a couple of years ago that you should consider bypass surgery, I understand, but like a lot of people in that situation, you were resisting it. What did you think this surgery was going to be like?
Exactly. I resisted with everything, having my chest opened, and the whole idea of having open heart surgery was something I tried to get away without doing. And you can treat it with medication and with exercise and with diet to some degree, but in my case anyway, it was hereditary.
Yeah, and you were dealing with a lot of pain. I know you had many days where you weren't feeling well, and you've told us that you woke up some mornings and your vision was even affected, that you had days where you couldn't see at all. How scary. And yet, that's improving since the surgery.
Right. It's kind of like the battery in your car. If your radio's not working and your windows don't go up and down and your motor won't start, you don't replace all those items. You replace the battery, or you charge the battery, and then your radio works, then your car starts. So
yeah.
You really got to start with where the circulation comes from. And if you improve the overall circulation, it's improved my eyesight, it's improved my attention, and everything's starting to work a little better. It's only been a few days now, so I'm hopefully be improving as we go down the road.
Yeah, it was a rough couple days when you first came to, I'm sure, but you're certainly on the mend and really inspirational to a lot of people here. So how has the hospital staff at Grossmont been treating you?
It's been outstanding. The doctors here and the nurses, everything, right down to the housekeeping, they've been very, very considerate. They put the patient first here. There's no restriction on visitors, at least in the ward that I'm in. And they've looked at my past medical history going back as far as they can, and they treated me as a whole person, not just the one problem that I have with the heart, but all of my problems, the high cholesterol that I have, and all of the things that contribute to the heart disease.
They really seem to do a great job. I was very impressed with how they're helping to make patients and their families and their friends so comfortable. They actually put the cardiac patients here up in a penthouse suite. The night before surgery, you get a room with a wall of windows, an ocean view, a couch, chairs. You could be having a party in there if you wanted to. And even the food, chicken curry, who would expect to get that in a hospital?
Yes, that's true.
Speaking of which, are you planning on making some lifestyle changes after you get out? We know you've enjoyed reviewing those rich foods for restaurants for us in the past, Leon. What's your New Year's resolution?
Oh, yes. I'll be looking for heart-healthy food in the future and heart-healthy food options when I do go to restaurants or mm-hmm. when I shop and cook.
Mm-hmm. And listeners, if you know of a heart-healthy menu item on a restaurant in East County, please let us know at editor@eastcountymagazine.org, and Leon will be out there checking it out soon. When are they going to let you out of here, Leon?
Well, I believe I'll be out on the 2nd of January 2014.
Fantastic.
And it'll be somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks before I'm back to normal. Mm-hmm. And but in the meantime, I really appreciate the fine help and the fine care from Grossmont Hospital here in La Mesa. And all of my friends out there, too, that have supported me through all this. I really appreciate that. I couldn't make it without you.
Well, that's wonderful. What message, if any, would you like to send to our listeners out there who might be putting off getting their heart examined or even going through a surgery like this if it's been recommended to them?
Well, I know if there's others that were as reluctant as I was, I would ask them to take a second look. And I got a lot of inspiration from former President Bill Clinton, who mm-hmm. had the same operation.
Mm-hmm. And you got him beat by one, and he had quadruple,
exactly,
and quintuple bypass.
And he looks just great. He looks just terrific.
He
and
does.
He's got more energy than ever before. And
traveling the world, lost weight.
Exactly. And he wears out his staff. He's so energetic.
Yeah,
so,
including his personal chef that follows him around and makes entirely vegan gourmet cuisine for him.
I wish I could do that, but I'll do it. He's definitely an inspiration on that.
Yeah.
But I would say if anybody, give it a try. Talk to the doctors and take a look at some of the people who, and talk to some of the people who've had the operation. See how they feel.
Very good. Well, we are certainly looking forward to having you back on board soon, Leon, and good luck in your continuing recovery.
Thank you.
So the East County Eater will be back on the prowl.
Next up, we're going to hear from Nadine Abbott, who's been down at the San Diego Car Show, kicking the tires, taking things for a test drive, and checking out a new program that's coming to San Diego.
The San Diego Car Show at the Convention Center. Among the many new models and makes comes Mercedes-Benz, which this year will open a driving academy in San Diego. ECM had a chance to sit down with Caroline Duchin, the director of the academy in Los Angeles. It will open a new academy here in San Diego. The academy follows DMV requirements, and its goal, according to the Sheens, are...
The goal of Mercedes-Benz Driving Academy is to create safer and more responsible drivers out of our team.
We also learned that these courses are no longer done at most high schools, and what makes the Mercedes-Benz program different, according to the Sheen, is a distracted driver course, which...
So with our distracted driving range, we have a closed course with a coned roadway set up that is very easy to navigate without distractions. So we start out, the teens drive the course, they're not hitting cones, they're not having any problem navigating that course, and then we slowly introduce distractions. So it may be something like just other teens in the car or loud music or asking them to do a math problem in their head. And when you start to kind of get in the way of kind of the cognitive focus on driving, it's amazing how quickly they start knocking down cones. So they walk away kind of with that feeling in the pit of their stomach saying, oh my gosh, I thought that I would be able to handle this type of environment in my car. But they realize that even something that may not feel like a distraction or may not be considered a distraction really does have a negative impact on their ability to drive.
ECM also talked with Alex Pleniak, who explained to us how the enduro racer at the Eco Section came to be. Wait, a racer? It has an electric engine.
To our knowledge, it is the first, and as far as we know, the only 100% electric off-road racer in the world. And we built this originally from a challenge from an Army general. General Pillsbury came to the Baja 1000 back in 2010 and said that we're paying over $400 a gallon for every gallon of fuel we deliver to in-theater forces. And he said, this is not sustainable. And he challenged the racing community to come up with alternatives. So this is one alternative, 100% electric.
He also explained that this vehicle took part of the...
And this was the Nora Mexican 1000, which is an endurance stage rally. It went from Mexicali, Mexico, all the way to Cabo San Lucas.
There is more development in the future, and Pleniak explained that he expects to reach 100 miles per charge. For more information, go to www.sandiegoautoshow.com. The show will be open until Sunday at the Convention Center every day from 10 to 9, and Sunday it closes at 7. For ECM and KNSJ, this is Nadine Abbott.
This is Ed Barreno with a sports report for East County Magazine on KNSJ. The Bolts are in. Yes, the Chargers will have an opportunity to compete for the Super Bowl this year, as the Cards remarkably fell in their favor this weekend. The playoff picture was stacked with four teams vying for the sixth seed in the AFC. With losses in the morning games by the Baltimore Ravens and Miami Dolphins, the Chargers only needed to win against the Kansas City Chiefs to secure the sixth seed. The Chiefs had already clinched the AFC's fifth seed and benched some starters for Sunday's game against the Chargers. However, it was a close game. The Chargers barely managed to hang on for overtime, as the Chiefs missed what would have been the winning kick. The kick created some controversy over a non-call by the refs, which would have led to another kick attempt. However, the Chargers went on to win in overtime by a score of 27-24. The Chargers will be playing against the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati on Sunday, January 5th at 10:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
If you need help with your taxes, the AARP Tax Aid Program can help. They're offering free tax preparation and e-filing for senior citizens, low-income residents, and others in need in the East County area. Tax sites will be open the week of February 3rd and continue until April 15th. The AARP Tax Aid Program will be available at the following locations: the El Cajon Library, College Avenue Senior Center, Alpine Senior Center, La Mesa Adult Enrichment Center, and Edgemoor Hospital. Two locations that have offered this service in the past, Lemon Grove Senior Center and the Salvation Army, will not be open this year. Past clients at these two sites are welcome to make an appointment at any of the other locations.
This is Tom Abbott with a public service announcement from San Diego Gas and Electric Company. Cold weather limits natural gas supplies in Southern California. With the cold front sweeping across the nation, San Diego Gas and Electric is asking customers to conserve energy, both natural gas and electricity, to ensure that we have enough supply to get us through this cold weather. Extremely cold weather is forecast for the western portion of the United States this weekend, and as a result, natural gas supplies throughout Southern California are limited. Conserve electricity as well as gas. It is helpful because the local power plants are fueled by natural gas. The less electricity we use, the less demand on the natural gas supply. SDG&E is encouraging the following conservation tips. Save up to 20% on heating costs by lowering your thermostat by 3 to 5 degrees, health permitting. Install programmable thermostats to help automatically regulate your home's temperature and comfort control and energy savings. Keep your heating system tuned up to operate at maximum efficiency. Clean or replace furnace filters according to manufacturer recommendations, and keep all heating vents and furnace registers free of dirt, lint, and obstruction. Caulk and weather strip drafty windows and doors. Open your drapes and shades during the day. Allow the sun to warm your house. Close them at night to limit the amount of heat that escapes. Don't heat your pool or spa. Turn off unnecessary lights. Hold off on doing laundry, running your dishwasher, etc. Follow these important safety tips when heating homes to reduce the risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. Never use your oven, range, or outdoor barbecue to heat your home because these appliances are not designed for the purpose and can emit dangerous carbon monoxide. Install carbon monoxide detectors. Change the batteries in your carbon monoxide detectors. Symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning include unexplained nausea, headaches, drowsiness, and flu-like symptoms. If you suspect that you or a loved one is suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning, call 911 immediately. For more winter safety tips, visit sdgne.com/winter.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
As the new year begins, Destination East County brings you a first weekend and more full of activities featuring several bands performing at local night spots. The Waits, an acoustic guitar and mandolin duo, will be performing at the San Pasqual Winery Tasting Room and Gallery on La Mesa Boulevard in La Mesa Village on Saturday, January 4th from 7 to 10 p.m. The Waits play a blend of folk, bluegrass, country, classic rock, and more. Wine by the glass, cheese and crackers, and desserts are available for sale. You must be 18 or older and admission is free. Liquid Blue is performing two shows at the Viejas Dreamcatcher Showroom in Alpine on Friday, January 3rd and Saturday, January 4th at 8 p.m. Liquid Blue plays an exotic fusion of Western pop melodies with ancient and modern Eastern elements and socially conscious lyrics, along with covers of classic protest songs. Admission is free. Mark Hummel's Blues Harmonica Blowout will perform a tribute to Sonny Boy Williamson II, featuring John Mayall, Mark Hummel, Curtis Salgado, Rick Estrin, Little Charlie Batty, and others on Saturday, January 4th at 7:30 p.m. The location is the Ramona Main Stage Nightclub on Main Street in Ramona. Samantha Aiken will be playing with her band at the Eastbound Bar and Grill on Main Avenue, M-A-I-N-E, in Lakeside on Saturday night, January 4th from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. There is no cover charge. Guests must be 18 or older. There will be a birding adventure at Choyas Lake on Saturday, January 4th from 8 to 11 a.m. This free adventure is going to be held at 6350 College Grove Drive in San Diego. For directions and other details, visit www.sandiegoaudubon.org. The Lemon Grove Historical Society and the Lemon Grove Library will present a new art exhibit, An American Family, The Art of Kathleen Strelzecki, from January 2nd to 30th, on view during library hours Monday through Saturday at School Lane in Lemon Grove. At the accompanying art talk on January 11th at 2 p.m. in the Putnam Community Room of the library, curator Helen Ofield will introduce the artist and discuss her work. Refreshments will be served and admission is free. Nature Awakens at Mission Trails Regional Park. The Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation is pleased to present an exhibition featuring seven award-winning artists who work in various mediums. The exhibit will be on display in the Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center Art Gallery from January 4th through 31st, 2014. The public is cordially invited to a reception in honor of the artists on Sunday, January 5th from 1 to 4 p.m. Now for some ongoing events to help make the start of your new year fun. Our first ongoing event is also at Mission Trails Regional Park, and it's called Trek with the Trackers, taking place Saturday, January 4th, and each first Saturday of the month through June 2014 from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Discover and identify tracks, scat, bedlays, and other evidence of critters that live in local underbrush and trees. Join a park tracking team guide for 2 hours of dirt time fun. Wear long pants and meet in front of the visitor's center. Also at MTRP, Mission Trails Regional Park, begin your easy New Year's resolution trail walk, starting on Saturday, January 4th, and continuing the next day, Sunday, January 5th, and then again on Wednesday, January 8th. Pick up again for those 3 days, starting on January 18th, 19th, and 22nd. The hikes are free, and the time is always 9:30 to 11 a.m. You get to keep your exercise pledge with a trail guide-led nature walk. Appreciate scenic wonder as you learn facts about indigenous animal and plant life. Hikers meet inside the visitor center. Next, the Atomic Blues Band will be playing at the Cottonwood Golf Club Bar and Restaurant on Willow Glen Drive in the Rancho San Diego area of El Cajon every Wednesday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. through May 2014. There is live music and dancing every Saturday night at the Bailey Wood Pit Barbecue on Main Street in Julian, a place described as a rustic mountain mining town with stellar beer selections. The fare at Bailey's is barbecue baby back ribs, brisket, tri-tip, Vince's Texas-style chili, beer-battered onion rings, chicken, sides, apple pie, and craft brews, including Julian Brewing Company's 1870 IPA. That's all for this week. All of these events and more are on our calendar and in our festivals and events section at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
See you around, East County!
Residents in Alpine are pulling together to help a young couple whose home on Arnold Way was destroyed by a fire on Christmas Eve. Shara Halverson and her boyfriend, Sean Barrett, were away visiting friends when their home caught fire. They have no renter's insurance and lost almost everything in the flames, though they are grateful for small miracles. A jewelry box that belonged to Shara's grandmother survived the blaze, as did an ammonite fossil given to her by a friend, and most special of all, a love letter that she wrote to Sean when they first fell in love. "That's what really matters," she told our news partner, 10 News. But the couple can't afford a new place to live, let alone replacing all that was lost. The Alpine Community Network reports that community members hope to give the young couple a new beginning. People wishing to donate items to help Shara and Sean can drop off items at the Chic Boutique in Alpine. Items needed include pillows, blankets, dog beds, toiletries, small appliances such as a rice cooker or a crock pot, and clothing. Shara wears a size 3 or 5 in clothing and shoe size 8. Sean wears a 32 to 34 small or medium shirt and has size 10 shoes. Sean also lost his computer and a guitar that he hopes to replace. A PayPal account has been set up at trueshara@gmail.com. That's trueshara@gmail.com. And questions can be sent to Shara's sister at sunnystyle@gmail.com. That's sunniestyle@gmail.com. Members of the Alpine Community Network have pitched in to offer furnishings, including a sofa, table, and chairs, hoping to brighten the holiday for this young couple in need.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. My guest today is Dr. Nori Robbins. She is a geologist and an adjunct faculty member at San Diego State University's Geology Department, and she's here today to talk to us about her wonderful program to bring science to children on Native American reservations. Nori, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me, Miriam.
Can you tell us what the Science Explorers Club is all about?
Well, Science Explorers Club is a way to get Indian kids outside and get them wet and dirty. That's the beginning of science. The issue is we need more scientists, and we need more scientists of every color, and we need more people who have different ideas and different cultures to bring them into science. And the way you start science is working with kids. And the way kids love science is outdoors and getting wet and dirty. So really the issue is not so much getting the kids wet and dirty, but getting the mothers used to the fact that the kids are going to get wet and dirty.
I've trekked along on one of these adventures that you lead, and it was, I have to say, it was a lot of fun. It was like going back to being a kid. We were stomping through the creek bed while the kids were scooping up crawdads and you were teaching them about the rock formations and the geology and the plants and the animals and everything. It was just great. So how on earth did you get into this, Nori? How did it all get started?
Well, that's a really good question, asking me how it got started. I'm a research scientist, retired from the U.S. Geological Survey. And my sister Penny, she is a teacher, and she said, you know, you scientists, you love what you're doing. But she said, you never tell kids that science is so much fun. And so she said, let's go outside and let's get some kids involved to show them what science looks like when you're outside. And so she took me outside and she turned me from a boring scientist into a teacher of outdoor science.
Fantastic. And what specifically motivated you to reach out to the reservations, the Native American people in our area?
As a geologist, I know how to explore for resources and I know how to exploit resources. And that's what you do when you're a geologist. But and I worked for the federal government, so we kept getting these different presidents. So during Clinton Gore, all of a sudden, everything switched from exploitation and exploration to cleaning up the environment. And I said, I don't understand. I have 3 degrees in geology, a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD, and no one ever told me how to take care of the earth. And I went looking for courses, couldn't find any courses, went looking for literature, couldn't find any literature. So I said, well, who teaches kids? I mean, who teaches taking care of the environment? And I said, okay, Indian people do. So let me go find some Indian scientists and go get taught how to take care of the environment. Mm-hmm. So I went searching and I couldn't find any Indian scientists. Eventually, I was walking around in my office and I realized one of the women lived with a Pawnee woman from a social worker, Pawnee from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. The BIA office was near the USGS office. And so there were finally, you know, Indian people wandering around looking for maps at the Geological Survey. So I finally got up my nerve and I asked her, why can't I find any Indian scientists? And she said, role models. She said, it really matters to have role models. She said, on my reservation in Oklahoma, we had social workers and lawyers. I became a social worker. She said, I would have made a great geologist, but no one ever told me that there was geology.
My. So you set out to bring geology to the reservations.
Exactly. So I said, when I retire, I'm going to teach outdoor science to kids, and I'm going to see if I could raise up the next generation of Indian scientists.
Very good. Now, how many children are involved in your programs, Nori, and what ages do you work with?
There's about 400 kids a year come to the program, and they range in age. My sister taught that you get your profession at age 7 or 8, so she said you hit them up at 7 or 8, and so I sort of said, okay, that's the age group I want. But we really are 4 to 11. So I get 4-year-olds, not just 4-year-olds by themselves, but the 4-year-olds that have older siblings are always older. And you forget that they're 4 until all of a sudden something happens and they start crying. And you go, why is this kid crying? Oh, he's only 4. And then I go as far as 11 years old. And at 11, you know, the teenaging starts coming on in and I lose them at 11. But you get this group that really care, that really like this outdoor science stuff, but they're too old for the little kids. So I get some 14 and 15-year-olds that hang around with their cell phones in their ears and or their iPhones in their ears, and but they're hanging around. They're going to help with the kids.
There you go. What are some of the activities that you do and where do you take them?
Well, I try to get them as the year goes by. I'm a monthly program on all these reservations. Mm-hmm. And so the
how many reservations, by the way, are you working with?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on 8 reservations. Mm-hmm. For many years, I was funded by National Science Foundation for 8 years. And so they gave me my mileage, paid for gasoline. So
fantastic.
I really pushed. So I worked on 11 reservations for a whole many years.
Was that a victim of budget cuts back there? Or?
No, we got funded twice. Mm-hmm. I mean, no
very
one
good.
Ever
so
gets
grants.
Funded and then extended. But National Science Foundation recognizes they need Indian scientists. They need scientists of every color and every culture. And so they funded us.
So back to the activities. Tell us what you do and where you go.
Yeah, exactly. So the month decides what we're going to do. So in the spring, we'll do spring wildflowers. In the summer, then we'll do the great lizard hunt. In December or January, when it's freezing to death and the kids are finally wearing coats, we'll do mountain climbing, which is a hill, which I can get them up a hill in 45 minutes and down in a half hour, because I'm an hour and a half after school program. So we do all the sciences. So we do hydrology, water. We do geology, collect rocks. We do soil scientists, dig for dirt. We do biology, botany, wildflowers, biology. We'll do tracks and trails for animals.
Sounds fascinating. Are you a tribal member yourself, Nori?
I'm not an Indian tribal member, but I'm Jewish, and we are tribal people. We know that we're tribal people. You know, when my Indian friends bump into somebody and want to, and suspect that they're Indian, you know, they'll raise two fingers to sort of ask, are you Indian? Well, my people, we ask, are you MOT? Are you a member of the tribe? So we know that we're tribal people. So, and tribal people have specific things that they do in their culture. And so I'm tribal.
Very good. What are some of the other programs out there for Indian youths?
One of the things that we tried to do with our National Science Foundation funding was to build a pipeline. I was in charge of the little kids, that's the 4 to 11-year-olds, mm-hmm. and then we couldn't find somebody who was acting with middle school kids, you know, middle school teenagers. But then the high school kids, people are always trying to get the high school kids pulling from the universities and pushing from below. So the best program is called Young Native Scholars. Now it's called Intertribal Youth. And Mark Chavez runs that one. Mm-hmm. And what he does is take reservation teenagers, that's the 15, 16, 17-year-olds from San Diego County reservations to reservations in Northern California. And he brings reservation kids from teenagers from Northern California to San Diego reservations so that the people are beginning meeting each other. And then they stay in the dorm at UCSD mm-hmm. so that they interface with what's going on at colleges.
Nice.
So that's one program. And then the second program is the American Indian Recruitment Program, the AIR. And that was two lawyers from the Mesa Grande Reservation, Dwayne and Devon Lamayaseva. They started AIR, and that's an after-school homework go-to-college program. So they take teenagers from the reservations, and they take them to UCSD and USD and SDSU, and college students there help these teenagers with homework, and the teenagers are moving back and forth between the reservations and the universities and getting used to being on campus.
Excellent. So what have you learned, Nori, from working with these wonderful kids?
Well, what I wanted to learn, what got me doing this in the first place was I wanted to learn how do you take care of the earth? The other part that I learned was, why don't we? And then I realized that actually came from my people, from the Hebrews, you know, from the mm-hmm. the Old Testament. And that is, we got taught people have dominion over the earth. Mm-hmm. And so that is the Western way of thinking and the Western science way of thinking.
And what is the Native American way of thinking?
Right. And then there's the other way, and that is we're part of the earth, that our bodies are part of the earth, that we're related to the plants and the animals and the soil and the water and the air, mm-hmm. that they're all parts of us. They're inside of us, and we put our bones back in the earth, and we become part of other things through time. So
I believe the word for body and for land is the same, isn't it, in the Kumeyaay language?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting concept. What's the craziest activity that you've done on one of these outings?
Oh, the craziest activity. Well, I had a kid at the Mesa Grande Reservation who wanted to camp out, and he was too young for me to take him anywhere. So it was time for the Perseid meteor shower. So I said, okay, why don't we camp out at the ball field at Mesa Grande? Mesa Grande has mountain lion issues.
Ooh.
Okay? So we do have to watch out, you know, who's at the rear, who's at the end of whenever we're walking.
Uh-oh.
Right. So the ball field has a big, big fence around it, and there's a porta potty. So mm-hmm. I said, okay, let's camp out in the ball field. And then people brought tents, and then adults came, and then we had a fire, and we did s'mores, and we did hot dogs. And so we've done that now. We've done it 3 years in a row. And I lay out with the kids in a circle, so all of our heads are together, and we poke each other awake all night long watching the Perseid meteor shower. Hey, did you see that? Well, no, I didn't see that because my eyeballs are looking in another quadrant.
Interesting.
Now, how are the programs different from reservation to reservation, is it the same?
Well, that's a really great question. Every reservation is entirely different. Some reservations are really pushing to get their kids through college, and those have amazing after-school homework programs. Mm-hmm. Poor kids. I feel so sorry for them. Like, the best one is at San Pasqual Reservation. Those kids, they come home from school, they get to play outside for 10 minutes, and then inside doing homework. And they really loved when I would show up because they didn't have to finish homework that day. So that's the best. And then the Palma Reservation, it also has a teacher that's in charge of their after-school program, but she's willing to incorporate science into it. And so that program is continuing at the
Very
Palma
good.
Reservation.
I was going to ask you how these programs are organized. Right. I think you may have just answered it.
But. Well, that's for the ones that go through education departments. Mm-hmm. And there's the ones that go through their recreation department. So Barona goes, yeah, so Barona goes through recreation. So it's a clean tie to have outdoor science as part of their recreation program, especially for the kids who are, you know, they don't want to become basketball players or soccer players. They want to go outside. It's perfect for the kids at Barona to have it run through the recreation department, because outdoor science is like outdoors is a recreation activity. And they have an absolutely fabulous recreation director who is just sitting there with all the moral imperative issues to the kids. Be nice to each other. Be kind to the earth. Do your homework. Respect your elders. And it's all part of his recreation activity, which is mind-boggling.
Good advice that we can all learn from that. Is there publicity for these programs, Nori?
In Indian Voices, we write it up a lot. The editor is Rose Davis of Indian Voices, and it's a local newspaper. It's in San Diego and in Las Vegas. And every once in a while she says, write up an article about something or other. So it gets that kind of publicity.
What are some of the successes of your programs?
Well, seeing that it was funded by National Science Foundation in San Diego State, where I'm adjunct faculty, is pushing this as an education outreach program. It's the academic successes that we think of as success. So we've had one student all the way through with his bachelor's degree through UCSD.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then I have two at Palomar, three at Palomar right now. So that's how we're measuring success.
Learning about geology and the sciences is something that they can take back and have jobs actually on the reservations if they want to, which is an important part of tribal culture. Is that accurate?
Exactly. Every reservation has an environmental office, and every environmental office needs employees. Mm-hmm. And so I work through the environmental offices and let them know who are the kids that, you know, have this real interest, and I let the kids know and let the parents know there are jobs on the reservation.
Very good. Are you appreciated for these efforts, Nori? What has resulted for you from doing this wonderful work?
Oh, what a great question. Yeah, I am appreciated. In fact, for Earth Day at La Jolla Reservation, La Jolla and Palma had a joint Earth Day, and they gave me a plaque, Environmental Hero 2013.
Oh, marvelous.
Yeah, they gave me a plaque. It was a big slab of oak with a beautiful vase on it and pictures of me with the kids at the La Jolla Reservation and at the Palma Reservation. And then they gave me a Pendleton blanket. And a Pendleton blanket to Indian people is really important because it says you're really important and you really matter if you're given a Pendleton blanket.
Marvelous. And you're working at reservations all over all of these reservations are here in San Diego County, many of them right here in East County. And I understand that, back to recognition, that you were also one of those 1,000 points of light.
It is true. You know, in Washington, this is back to my sister Penny, who said, you got to involve kids. So I ran a similar program in Washington, D.C. for inner city kids. It was called What's Under Your Feet. And it was the creek where I was a kid. That's how you turn out a geologist, is that you have a creek. Right. And so it was my creek. And of course, it was all an African American neighborhood, and there were a lot of drug people, you know, a lot of police around. And my mother came to visit me from California, and I took her back to my creek, and she said, you know, she says, there's so many kids playing in the creek. She said, why don't you do something for the kids in the creek? So she said, you know, call the police department, ask them. And I called the police department, and asked about being in the creek with the kids. And the person, the outreach, community outreach person said, please do this. These kids have nothing.
Great.
So I got started working in the creek of my childhood, and I did that for 10 years. And about year three, the president was the first Bush, George Bush, and Herbert Walker Bush, mm-hmm. and he started this Points of Light, and every federal agency mm-hmm. got told, give us somebody, and the USGS was just able to just grab my name and say, here, Robbins.
Well, that is quite an honor, quite an achievement. Do you ever bring people along on the outings, other than, obviously, I trekked along and had a great time, but are strangers welcome? Do you take friends or colleagues or students along with you?
I'm always willing to take other people. One, especially like college students, because they're closer in age to the kids that I teach, and they're in college, so they can talk about being in college and why college is important and what you can get out of college. But I love to have friends and colleagues and strangers come. The kids love novelty, so a stranger is novelty, especially if they're guys, because there's not a lot of guys that will just, you know, jump right at the opportunity to go play outdoors with kids. I have no idea why not, but anyway, less guys. So if a guy will show up, I love that, and especially to tell the guys, you know, go grab a couple of the boys, especially the ones that are right there at the edge of trouble, and mm-hmm. sort of aim them in a better direction.
Very good. Nori, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
You know, there actually is, how I got started in San Diego County.
How did you get started in San Diego County?
When we knew we were retiring from Washington, D.C. and coming to San Diego, I said what I wanted to be was a role model on a reservation, and the question was, how was I going to get that to work? And so I was working with somebody who was running the Indigenous Earth Education Program at San Diego State, and he had contacts. And one of his contacts was Geneva Fitzsimmons at La Jolla Reservation. And she said, oh, you want to talk to Henry Rodriguez, Uncle Henry. And so Uncle Henry was there, and I told him, I want to teach outdoor science to kids on reservations and turn some of these kids into scientists. And he said, you want to turn them into hydrologists, into water scientists. He said, if you're an Indian person, you've got to pay attention to the quality and the quantity of the water that you have on your reservation. And so with his blessing, then I was able to, of course, speak to all the other reservations and tell them, Henry Rodriguez said, you know, we're running it on the La Jolla Reservation. I got it started in 3 months after I moved here. And so I'm working on the La Jolla Reservation, and Henry gave his blessing. And so I've never had anyone say no to any programs at reservations.
Very good. And water is certainly one of the most important issues for all of Southern California. Nori, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Tribal Beat. I'm filling in today for Leon Thompson, who's still in the hospital but recovering quite well from his open heart surgery. I appreciate you joining us on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ. Thank you, Nori.
Thank you.
A flurry of new laws are slated to take effect in California in the new year. Here are some of the new laws that could affect you, your family, or your business. Minimum wage workers will get a raise in pay starting July 1st, when the minimum wage will rise by $1 an hour in California, from $8 to $9 an hour under Assembly Bill 10. If you're looking for a job, AB 556 makes it illegal for an employer to discriminate against you based on your military or veteran status under the Fair Employment and Housing Act in California. If you're a victim of stalking, your employer cannot fire you or discriminate if you take time off to appear in court on any proceeding related to the stalking issues. Similar protections are already in place for victims of domestic violence or sexual assault. Your employer must also make reasonable efforts to protect your safety, such as considering transfer, changing your schedule, assigning a new phone number, or providing locks under Senate Bill 400. If you're a victim of a crime or you witness a crime, it's now illegal for an employer to fire you, discriminate, or retaliate against you for taking time off work to appear in court under Senate Bill 288. However, your employer can ask for proof, such as a police report. Current law allows workers up to 6 weeks of paid family leave time to care for a seriously ill child, spouse, domestic partner, or parent, or to bond with a newborn or newly adopted child. The law is being expanded starting July 1st under Senate Bill 770 to also include caring for a seriously ill brother or sister, grandparent, grandchild, or mother or father-in-law. Employers can have their business license revoked or suspended if they retaliate against employees or others on the basis of citizenship or immigration status, and they could be fined up to $10,000 per violation under SB 666. Medical patients can now access physical therapy treatment directly without a referral from a doctor under AB 1000. Therapy for patients who initiate their own services will be limited to no more than 12 visits or 45 calendar days, whichever is less. The law also requires a physical therapist to refer the patient to another medical provider if the patient's condition requires treatment or services beyond the therapist's scope of practice, or if the patient is not improving. You won't have to worry soon about running up millions of dollars in medical bills. SB 639 conforms California law to the Federal Affordable Care Act requirements, so any policy that takes effect or renews on January 1st or later must limit your annual deductible to $2,000 for an individual and $4,000 for families, and limit your yearly out-of-pocket total costs to $6,500 for individuals or $12,700 for families in most circumstances. If you're a minor, you can now get photos or texts that you posted online removed, thanks to SB 568. So if you don't want your would-be employers to see those wild photos taken during youthful indiscretions, you'd better ask to have them taken down before you turn 18. The new law also prohibits online and mobile application owners from marketing certain products to minors. If you threaten to report the immigration status of a person or their family member, you can now be charged with extortion under AB 524. If you're a transgender student, AB 1266 lets you choose which restroom to use and whether to participate in boys' or girls' sports at a public school in California. Motorists, be aware that starting July 1st, another new law requires drivers to allow at least 3 feet when you pass a bicyclist, though there are exceptions if the road conditions are too dangerous. Smokers can no longer light up at any University of California campus. Since effective January 1st, the UC system has banned all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes. The California State University system will consider a similar ban at its campuses this spring. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.